Hey, can we give it up for the Hume team putting together that video? They do such a good job with that. My name is Robert. If I haven't met you, which most of you I have not met yet, because I got in just after 1 a.m. this morning from Arizona, is where I am born and raised. And so excited to be here. I woke up and I'm like, why is there all this moisture in the air? Like, there's this humidity and it, like, everything's green. And so I'm just kind of, I'm adjusting to this totally different, like, part of our country. But like I said, my name is Robert. I've been working with students for over 20 years. I'm married. I got a picture of my family here. I'll do a quick introduction. So you guys are like, who's this guy? Let me tell you a little bit about my family. If we have the picture, maybe. Maybe not. Let me describe them to you. So I've been married now for just over 16 years. My wife's name is Lindsay, and I met her. Oh, I do see the image on the back. Do we have it? Oh, the anticipation. Well, I'll just start talking about them. So my wife, I actually met my wife on a mission trip to Africa. It was a church trip, and we didn't really know each other until we got on the plane and we got seated next to each other. And I'm like, ooh, I like this girl. And then she was kind of like, oh, okay, this guy's weird. But by the time we were done with our trip in Africa, we were flying home. And on the flight, I said to her, I said, hey, I think I have the answer to all your problems. Like, we've been talking for hours and all that. And this is before there was TV screens on the planes. I think I have the answer to all of your problems, which, by the way, guys, that's a terrible setup ever if you're talking to a girl. But I said, I think I have the answer to all your problems. And I looked her in the eye and I said, you and I just need to fall madly in love with each other. It's a terrible line. Some of you are like, hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. No, because then her response was, she just got super quiet and was like, what? And then I did what all of us guys would have done. I was like, just kidding. And I tried to just, like, you know, just messing with you. But then eventually she did. She fell in love with me. And we got married. And we had three beautiful kids. And so we have two boys. Gabriel is 13. He's in junior high. Corbin just turned 12. He's also in junior high. And then our daughter, Emma, she is 10. And so 10, 12, 13. So we had 3 and 3 years, just boom, 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 really fast. The cool thing is, so I grew up going to Hume Lake when I was a student. So I love Hume Lake. And the cool thing is, just a couple of weeks ago at SoCal, both of my boys were at Hume Lake Junior High Camp. And so I was able to go hang out with them for a little bit and just to see them now being a part of what God's doing at Hume Lake. So I'm so thrilled to be here with you guys this week. We're going to be doing a lot of digging into the Bible. Now, I do need to know for the other slides, are we good with those other images on the screen? Okay. So when you're speaking, sometimes you get the this, which is like, hey, just a little more time. Just buy us a little more time. So I'm going to ask you a question. If I were to ask you right now to describe God, what would your answer be? Just think about it in your own mind. You don't have to answer out loud. But if right now I were to go to each one of you one-on-one and I would just say, hey, real quick, just describe for me, who is God? How would you answer that? I mean, how could you answer that? How would you define that? For some of you, if we're being totally honest, some of you, you'd be like, I don't even know if there is a God. For some of you, your answer to that question, you might say, hey, I think God's kind of angry. I think God's kind of angry. I think God's kind of frustrated. Some of you, you might use words like he's big. You might say God is loving. Some of you, you might use the word holy. And if you don't know the word holy or what does this word mean, sometimes people use it out of context, but the word holy means to be set apart, to be set apart, that God is holy, that he is actually set apart. He's unlike any other thing, which makes him very hard to describe. We're going to look at a passage here in a second. First, I think, do we have the picture of the family? Is it working? Sorry, I missed the signal. Don't think so? What about the other images? We're trying. Okay, we'll figure it out. We could always just have everybody just turn around and look back, because on this monitor here, let's do that right now just for the family picture. So if you look at the back wall there, you can see my family. Say hi, family. They can't hear you guys. It's just a picture. But thank you for doing that. So those are the kids. So now you kind of know what they look like. Isn't my wife beautiful? Guys, don't say anything. You can't say anything about that. All right. So over the next several days, we're going to get to know this God who in many ways is unknowable unless he would choose to somehow reveal himself to us. Very first verse in your Bible, Genesis 1:1, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So the very first pages, if you've never owned a Bible, never opened a Bible, oh, look, we have it right here. You never owned a Bible or opened a Bible, this is how it begins. This is our introduction to the story of who God is, of who you are, of who we are, and how all of this came to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, there is a beginning. There is a start to all things. And at that beginning, God was already there. And so God exists beyond even the beginning. God is holy. God is set apart from all creation. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty impressive. I don't know if you've noticed, the earth is pretty impressive. Lots of really cool things. Any of you watch like nature documentaries? We can raise our hands. We can be proud. I'm a nerd too. Yeah, we love watching that stuff and seeing like Planet Earth. Any of you see Planet Earth? That series or any of those things? It's amazing, this planet that God has created, but I love to look out at the stars. And just to ponder, okay, are you telling me, okay, page one of the Bible, very first verse, you're telling me that God spoke that into existence? I have some images. If they work, are they good? What's that? 30 seconds? All right. So I'm going to tell you guys a little story. All right. So I'm at my dad's cabin, and my dad, he's got this cabin out in the woods. Any of you like, I know we're in the woods right now. Any of you like live out in the woods or have a place out in the woods where there's like no light pollution? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about, where at nighttime you look up and you can actually see the Milky Way. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like there's just this cloud just kind of spanning across the sky. Well, that's how it is at my dad's cabin. And he has this telescope, and I'm like, wow, okay, cool. So I'm going to start looking at stuff in the sky because he's out in the woods and there's no light pollution or anything. And that night in particular, both Saturn and Jupiter were out. And so I get his telescope. I go out on the deck, and I'm looking. I'm getting it dialed in and focused in, and I'm like, no way. I could see the moons around Jupiter from my dad's cabin. And I am just like totally nerding out. I'm like, this is incredible. Look at that. And then Saturn, I'm looking at Saturn and I can see the ring around Saturn. And I'm like, no way, this is incredible. And then I'm sitting there going, they're so tiny. Yet if you know anything about Saturn and Jupiter, is they are not tiny. And then it hit me, wait a minute, what if we're tiny? You know, and I had this moment like looking and go, what if we're tiny? What if we're the tiny ones? But in light of these other things, yeah, Earth is itty bitty, but guess what? Saturn and Jupiter. And in light of even just our solar system, you look at the size of our sun, they're tiny. And our solar system, and even our sun, if you've ever seen like star comparisons, our sun is tiny. And it's all just relative, because we think, man, I'm a big person in this world. When we start comparing it to the rest of the planet, to our solar system, to our Milky Way galaxy. So I'm just going to keep geeking out. And if ever the pictures show up, just throw them up on the screen. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep rolling. Oh, we do have pictures. Okay. So within our galaxy, Our space telescope, the Hubble Space Telescope, which is about to get replaced by a really awesome one. I'm really excited about that. But it took these images just looking out into what is just around us. And the Hubble Space Telescope, which was launched in 1990, and it had an issue. They had to fix like a lens on it. But then they started sending in images like like this one. This is called Mystic Mountain. Here's the next one. This is called Sharpless 2-106. This is a nebula. This is an explosion happening out in space. This is the Cat's Eye Nebula, this next one. And you'll see where it gets its name, because it looks, I guess, kind of like a creepy cat's eye. But yeah, they were being creative with their names. All right, this next one is also known as the Butterfly Galaxy. This is NGC 6302, called the Butterfly. And in our galaxy, you have, just in our Milky Way galaxy, so the universe is made up of multiple galaxies, just our one galaxy, you have between 100 and 400 billion stars. And up until 1924, the estimate for other galaxies, so our galaxy has all these stars, the estimate of how many other galaxies are out there, they thought, well, it's just ours. And then in 1924, this guy, Edwin Hubble, had a really cool telescope, and they started looking further out and started noticing there were other things like the Sombrero Galaxy. Galaxies outside of our galaxy. So those images you saw, those are inside our galaxy. And then they started going, well, there's entire galaxies also made up of hundreds of billions of stars. This next one, this is called NGC 1300. Go ahead and go on to the next one. The next one looks a little bit more similar to what our galaxy would look like. Go on to the next one. Maybe, 1 second. I love you guys. Hey, can we give a hand to these guys who... So I show up at 1 a.m, wake up at what would be like 4 o'clock Arizona time, and I'm like, I have a thumb drive with some images. Can we put these on the computer real quick? And so they've been working super hard to make that happen. So super grateful for that. But these galaxies, so now we start looking out, and Edwin Hubble goes, hey, turns out there's at least two galaxies, ours and another one. And then they look out and they keep finding more and more galaxies. And so they're doing this and they're making all these discoveries. And then once you fast forward now until we have the Hubble telescope named after Edwin Hubble, the scientists in charge of that, they said, hey, let's do something crazy. I know there's all these new discoveries happening. What if we took our telescope and we just pointed it out? So yeah, that's the other galaxy I was telling you about. What if we just pointed it out into absolute like nothing, like total darkness, like the space in between where we see stars. And we just like opened up the Hubble telescope and just let whatever light come in and then just see what we see. And people are like, you're crazy. The guy who was in charge of it, they're like, you're gonna lose your job over this. Like you cannot use all that time to point this space telescope out at nothing to get images. So they ended up doing that anyway. I think we have, go ahead and go on to the next image. If possible. There we go. This one's just cool. I just wanted you to see that. So after Hubble, they started to theorize after the telescope opened that there might be as many as 10 billion other galaxies out there. But then they did this thing where it's called the Hubble Deep Field Full Resolution. It took 10 days, 100 hours of just staring at nothing, and this is the image that they got. And in that image, what you see, all those little dots, all those little circles, those are entire galaxies. And the darkest little spot, so if you were to like just hold out your hand at arm's length and like hold like a little tiny piece of rice out, that's the size that they just pointed the Hubble telescope at in darkness. And this is the image they got back, and they were like, no way. Look at all of these galaxies. And then their estimate just kept going up, and they're like, there's got to be 200 billion other galaxies. And then they did the ultra deep field in 2014, 10 years of data, 600 hours. And here's the image that they got looking at the space between the space. Go ahead. And they just kept finding more and more galaxies. To the point now where they estimate there are 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe. 2 trillion, each one with hundreds of billions of stars, like the star that we're going to put on sunscreen to protect ourselves from later today. Do you guys do that here? We do that in Arizona. Do you guys wear sunscreen? Okay, that's the thing here? Okay, I don't know. I don't know if like the sun's different here. But yeah, so all of this, and why am I doing all this? Guys, the Bible teaches on page 1 that God spoke that into existence. My goal for us this morning is that whatever idea we have of who is God, I want to challenge us. I want to challenge myself. I'm willing to bet our view of God might be a little bit too small. You cannot put God on too high of a pedestal. We've been introduced to this creator God in Genesis 1. I'm just going to read these verses to you. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands." Isaiah 40, verse 12 says, God measures the heavens with the span of his hand, that he goes, yeah, that's it. Psalm 8:1, "You have set your glory," talking about God, "above the heavens." So on page one, we're introduced to this creator God. Now here's our challenge. See, all of us, we live inside of a box. Not literally, figuratively, but we all live inside of a box of creation, what has been created. That all space, all matter, that even time has a beginning. Einstein, when he looked at Hubble's redshift, he goes, now I see the necessity of a beginning. Even Einstein had to change his theory to go, hey, all of this has a starting point, has a beginning. All of this has a start. And so we live inside this universe that God spoke into existence, that God created. Yet God is holy. God is set apart. God is the one who made the universe. So if this was, you guys ever use like do like a diorama for school? You know, where you have like a little box and there's like a little scene inside of there? Have you guys ever done that? Just give me a, you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, diorama is not a bad word if you're like, what is he talking about? Okay, so this is going to be a diorama of the entire universe. It's going to symbolize it. And then I have Grogu. Any Mandalorian fans? Okay, in the back. Yeah, way to go. Okay, so Grogu, he actually sits on my dashboard on my Jeep and drives everywhere with me. But Grogu, he lives inside the box. He lives inside the box of creation. I know you guys can't see over there, so I'm going to move him just a little bit. Here. Okay, question. How could Grogu ever know me? I exist beyond the box, right? Say somehow I created the box. I can't create anything. All I can do is move stuff around. But say somehow I created this. His entire known universe, space, time, everything was created by me. How could he ever know me, who exists beyond time, who exists beyond the box, who is so much higher above all of those things? How could he ever know me? Think about it. And I know this is kind of like, Robert, there's a lot of stuff up front early. I know you guys are smart, and so I'm going to treat you like adults, and we're going to talk like adults, and I'm just going to give all of this to you. But just think with me here for a second. The only way Grogu could know me is if I chose to reveal myself to him. And there's a few ways I could do that. It could be that in how like I ordered everything in the box, that maybe there's some things in there that my fingerprints are kind of on it. And Grogu, being reasonable and intelligent, can go, hey, I kind of see the fingerprints of creation behind all this, that there's a creator behind all of these things. I see it in the order of things. I see it reflected in creation. That's one way I could reveal myself to Grogu. The Bible says that God's done that. That God has revealed himself through what has been made. His invisible attributes, namely his power, is evident through creation. But what if somehow I could get like a note? Like write some kind of a message and somehow deliver it. Maybe I'd have to deliver it through like one of Grogu's friends, but I can kind of maybe lead them to write it in such a way where now Grogu could read it and learn about, hey, there's a Robert outside of the box. And he has a big blue t-shirt on today. And here's what's going on. And I could maybe in some form of writing get a message to Grogu and he could read and he could begin to learn about me. That'd be one way. And you realize that's what we have in the Bible. That's what God has done for us. That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has moved people to write so that we might know this holy God who exists beyond all of creation, that we might know him. And the third way, and this is the most extreme way, and this would take incredible love and incredible humility, if somehow I cared so much about Grogu that I could somehow empty myself and go into that box and become like Grogu and talk person to person. Man, that would be the ultimate way to reveal who I am. And that's exactly what God has done in the person of Jesus. See, this God who's holy, who's set apart, he's crazy about people. He loves people, which means he loves you no matter who you are, what you've done, what's been done to you. God loves you. God's crazy about you. Over this week, we're going to learn about this God who loves us, what makes him so unique, his attributes, his characteristics, and the story of what he's done to be with you. And we're going to see it through the eyes of a guy named Moses. You guys saw the video. And I'm just going to read to you from Exodus chapter 3 today. It says, now Moses was tending. So if you don't know the backstory of Moses, he was part of the royal family. He's also an Israelite. And so he's kind of torn because this royal family, they're oppressing the Israelites. They're enslaved in Egypt. And so he ends up going and he ends up fighting a guy and he kills a guy trying to defend his fellow Israelite. And so he's on the run and he goes off into the desert. And so he kind of has his life in these 40-year sections. There's 40 years where he's in the royal palace. There's 40 years he's on the run and then coming back to get his people. And then there's 40 years of wandering in the desert. Well, spoiler alert, we'll get there later. Okay, so Exodus 3, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So this is in that second part of that three-parter of his life. The priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord. Now, in the Bible, sometimes you see an angel of the Lord. Sometimes you see the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is God is manifesting himself to whomever it is. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Remember, holy means set apart. Holy means set apart. It means set apart. God says, something special is happening. There's this moment where God is entering the box and he's doing it in the form of a burning bush. And he's going, hey, this is set apart. This is something different, Moses. This is not just like a cool, that thing's burning. I'm going to go check it out. Moses, just know what you are stepping into. The God who created all things has manifested himself here to you in this moment. The place you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Listen to these words. So I have come down to rescue them. Let that sink in for a moment. This holy, powerful, mighty God who created all things loves his people so much that when they're enslaved, he goes, you know what? Yeah, I could just orchestrate things and just make it happen or whatever. He says, no, I have come down to rescue them. We learn that this God who is holy, who is set apart, he's also very personal. And in fact, his goal throughout the story of the Exodus that we're going to see this week, his goal is to be with the people. And his goal, because he does not change, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His goal is to be with you. And God has come down to rescue you. And God has come down to be with you. He says, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of, you don't have to remember those, and the cry of the Israelites has reached me. And I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, time out. Who am I? Is his question. And it's a valid question. The God of the universe shows up. It's holy ground. This holy God says, hey, I've come to rescue the people. I need you to go and do this. And Moses is going, excuse me, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He's going, This is a big ask that you're making of me, God. This is the task at hand. This is kind of massive. Who am I to be doing this? God, I don't know if you got the right guy. I love God's response. So his question is, who am I? And God said, I will be with you. Let me translate that for you. Moses, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you think you are. It doesn't matter that your credentials aren't holy, holy, holy. It doesn't matter because God's saying, Moses, I am with you. And that makes all the difference. You plus God is an unconquerable majority every time, no matter who you are. The reason why God wants to be with you is because you win the ultimate battle when God is with you, regardless of who you are. It's not about you. It's about the God who is with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So then God gives all these spoilers. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, well, what's his name? I don't know if they would actually ask that, but he's just nervous. Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. When God refers to himself as Yahweh or I am who I am, he's making a statement about who he is. He is self-existent. I am means nobody else defines who God is. God defines who God is, and God reveals who he is to us. Anytime you and I would try and paint this picture of God in our minds, that's not God. If we're just trying to come up, well, I think God's more like this, or I think God should be this, that's not God. God is I am. He is self-existent. Those who are inside of this box don't get to define me. I get to reveal myself to them. Do you guys see the difference? If they got together, Grogu and his buddies, and they just created an idea of who they thought I was, that doesn't mean that's who I am. I am self-existent outside of the box. They don't define who I am. I reveal who I am. God is making that statement. I am who I am. Nothing else created God. Nothing else defines who God is but God himself. Everything that God says and does is who he is. Yahweh alone defines himself. He is holy. He is set apart. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. So what does this mean? God is the author and creator of all things. He's all powerful and all present. He has no limitations. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's revealed himself to us in creation. That all that we can study in biology and physics and all of that ultimately points us back to the God who's behind the design. He's revealed himself in scripture. He's revealed himself in the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he is the same today as he was when Moses walked this earth and when God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. And this God, this holy God, loves you. If anything, be in awe of that one reality. This holy God, who even the angels in his presence, they just cry out day and night, holy, 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 set apart, set apart. God, there is nothing like you, no one like you. God, you are above all things. You've set your glory above the heavens. God, you are holy, and yet God loves you so much. No matter who you are, I don't know your stories, but I do know that God loves you. I am 100% convinced of that. He has revealed it again and again and again. He's revealed it in this story of Moses and the people of Israel and the Exodus, which that story repeats with the person of Jesus and what he did for you on a cross 2,000 years ago. This holy God loves you. And we're going to get to know him over the course of this week. And we're going to learn of his love. And he's going to give us an invitation to respond to that love, but I want you to walk out today just knowing this God, whatever view you have of him, just keep elevating it. And once you think, man, I don't think I could think any higher, just keep going. Because he is a holy God. He's set apart above all creation, yet he loves us enough to reveal himself to us. And so I'm going to pray that we would learn of this God throughout this week. Father, for each of us, wherever we're at in our journey, whether we believe in you, don't believe in you, maybe we've grown up around church, not grown up around church, God, would we come here ready to learn of you? God, to receive the truth of who you are into our lives, may we be open to whatever it is you want to speak to us, whatever it is you want to teach us. God, however it is you want to reveal yourself to us this week, we're open to receive. Father, we want to know you. So much that we can't quite understand because you're infinite. Yet, God, I know that you want to be known. And I believe you will reveal yourself to us throughout the course of this week. And so I pray that you'd open our hearts, our minds, that through our conversations, we would begin to grasp, to understand just a little bit of who you are. Just a little bit of how much you love us. And a lot how much we need you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.